Blog Talk Radio.
Righteous mane everywhere I go. You're gonna light my candle, son. You're gonna make it shine. You're gonna lead me to the throne. I am a working man. I get things done. Work for the Holy Ghost. Work for the Son. I am a working man. Oh yes, I am. I am a special agent of the Lamb. Child, I was born in the north. I was born in the autumn time. Lord only knows what for. I was born when leaves turn red. Born when things are dying. But I was born with a big old mouth. I am a working man. I get things done. Work for the Holy Ghost. Work for the Son. I am a working man. Oh yes I am. I am a special agent of the Lamb.
Always on time, and he's for us, and his word says if he be for us, he's more than the whole world against us. And I'm grateful unto him this morning for all he has done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do. We're going to prayer right quick, and when we come back, we're coming back with a few encouraging words, and I have a clip. It's not very long, but I have a clip I want to share with you today. And I was able to download it into the studio so you'll be able to hear it clear. And we just thank God because he's on our side. And no matter what's going on in the world, if we are in him and he's in us, he takes care of his people. Yeah, he takes care of us. Yeah. And so I'm so grateful unto him. Yeah. So we thank God. apparently that degree freeze drain part of the batteries. Okay, so you need a water in the battery, Brother Louis. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You didn't have to buy a battery, hopefully. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this day. We thank you, Lord, for your way maker. We thank you that we can come unto you if we're burdened and heavy laden. It's you that will give us rest. We thank you this morning for your healing power. We thank you for directions and instructions. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done, what you're doing right now, Father, and what you're going to do. Great and mighty things for us. And Father, we know a lot is going on in the world. We know that the enemy have come in and snatched the minds of many people. And people are not looking to you. They're looking to the government. They're looking to the news. They're looking at everything but you. But we thank you this morning that we know we can come boldly before the throne of grace and make our petition known unto you. We thank you that not only you hear, but Father, you answer. We thank you that you open doors for us, doors we didn't even know was closed. We thank you this morning that it was you that saved us. It was you that set us aside as your people unto yourself. And Lord, you gave us your spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. And Lord, it warns us, it does all we need to have done if we will pay attention. Father, we thank you for your spirit today, that if we walk in your spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of our flesh. We thank you that we can keep our mind on you, and it's you that keep us in perfect peace. We thank you this morning. And Father, we know that it's time to work. And we must work while it's day, because when night comes, no man can see. We got to take our eyes off ourselves and begin to see others as standing in need of you. Help us not to be judgmental, O God. But Lord, when we see these people that are in trouble, they don't believe, they don't understand, they don't know what to do. They're leaning to the government. They're leaning to everywhere else. Lord, let us pray for these people, because we never know what they've gone through, what they're going through. We never know the trouble that's in their mind. So we ask today that we would be that light that sit on a hill that can't be hid. We ask that we would be the salt of the earth, God, that gives the earth its savor. And that, Lord, they would ask us, what should we do to be saved? How do I reach this Jesus? Hallelujah. Father, help us when we see these things. We see the homosexuals. We see the alcoholics. We see the drug abusers. We see the dope man. We see children in trouble. We see women in trouble. We see men in trouble. Help us today to lift up the bloodstained banner. Help us to lift you up so that you can drop of them unto you in the name of Jesus. For many are troubled, God. Many don't know which way to turn. They don't know what to do. Many are full of fear. They're scared, Lord. So we ask that you would help this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, we bring every caller and every listener before you this morning in the name of Jesus, asking that you would bless these your people. Father, asking today that you would give uncommon blessings and miracles to your people. Show your people that you're still the God of heaven and earth. You yet have all power. There's no higher power. In the name of Jesus, heal your people today, God, those that are sick, those that are fearful. Remind them, you didn't give any of us the spirit of fear, but you gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Help us this morning, oh God, to call somebody and check on them today, see if they're doing all right. Help us not to be selfish and just think about ourselves and our family. But Lord, help us to be concerned about others in the name of Jesus. Ask today that God, you would bless the family and friends of every caller and every listener, near and far. as today, Lord, that this would be the day that, God, you would open up their wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. For if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives liberally and upbraideth not. Do it for your people today, right here on Jesus in the Morning Radio Talk Show. Deliver today, O God. Lord, even secret sins, God, let them come to you. And you deliver them from secret sins in the name of Jesus. Help us all today. Your word says the first one without sin cast the first stone. So, Lord, we don't want to judge nobody. We don't want to look on others and what we feel they're doing wrong. But, God, we want to take self-inventory this morning. And we're asking you to fix our hearts and regulate our minds today. We're asking you individually, Lord, to let this mind be in us that was also in your Son, Christ Jesus. We ask it today in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering. Father, we bring those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military, widowers, bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, preachers everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus in obedience unto you and love for your people. Israel and Jerusalem, our brothers and sisters overseas, everywhere. Father, America and the leadership of America, have mercy this morning. Not our will, but we're asking that your will be done. Fix it for us, O God. Pestilence in the land. And Lord, we believe these are the final hours, so help us, Lord, to get it right with you, that when you come back, we'll return with you. For you're looking for your church, hallelujah, without spot or wrinkle. Without you, we can do nothing. So we're asking you this morning to get the spots and wrinkles out of us. And Lord, help us to walk upright before you with our mind on you, not on what's going on and how bad things are and how we're hurting and this. But Lord, help us to look at you, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Our God, hallelujah. And we thank you this morning. Bless this segment of Jesus in the Morning. Again, God, we ask that you would deliver here. Send your deliverance here today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Not that your ears are deaf and your arms too short to reach down. Lord, we're just asking again in your Son Jesus' name. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you the praise. And Father, again, in Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you today. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you right now. There's none like you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you're a good God to us. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going in and listen to this little clip right quick. This is Pastor Cosby. And I love this testimony. I was blessed by. Ooh, had church early this morning by myself, listening to this man give this testimony. So I thought it would just be right to share it with you today. Hallelujah.
God is saying, listen here, don't you fool yourself. I don't care how big and bad the enemies of your life may be. I still get the last word. Hallelujah. God says when the dust settles and the smoke clears, I'm still going to have folk wondering who in the world is your God. And they're going to want to know your God and get to know your God because I will be exalted among the heathen. Now, that's the folk who don't even know me, who don't even like me, who don't even come to church, who don't even worship. They're going to look at you and they're going to wonder who your God is. Oh, I know I'm telling the truth. I just saw it a couple weeks ago. Dr. Ned Howard, I just saw it a couple weeks ago. It was a wonderful thing. While I was in my boy's hospital room, we were waiting on surgery number three. We were waiting on surgery number three, and the ENT, the ear doctor, who was supposed to work on it, had told us the day before that she specializes in handling the ear. My boy's had a significant ear infection that has permeated much of his head, and he has been very consumed with this, and it's caused him so much pain over these past weeks. It's a just little ear infection that has exploded in his brain. And now, in his head, and now he's dealing with this reality. And this woman comes in, and she says, don't worry about it. I can handle this surgery. They call me the ear girl. I said, all right, ear girl, because my boy got an ear problem. And I need the ear girls to handle my boy's ear problem. And she said, no problem, I can handle it. The next day she comes and they put him on what is known as the add-on list. The add-on list is when you are not already scheduled for surgery. We weren't scheduled weeks out. It is just something we know we need you to have. And so we're going to put you on the add-on list. And you'll be brought into the operating room as soon as we can get you a space. Well, brothers and sisters, the day had come. We're ready for the surgery. Morning passes. Nobody calls for my son. Get to the afternoon, nobody calls for my son. It's the middle of the afternoon, nobody calls for my son. Around 5 o'clock, the ear girl comes in. And Doc says, I hate to let you know, I got to leave. My shift is over. And I got, what? That's what I said. And I said, my shift is over. And I cannot stay any longer. I got to get out of here. I've been here all day long, and I'm going home. She said, my shift is over. I got to leave. I said, all right. So she walked out the room. I picked up my phone. I started texting some folk that I know, a brother that I know who's a member of this church. Big baller shot call at the hospital. I'm glad I know people. I said, ear girl said she can't do the surgery because it's time for her to go. 5 minutes later, ear girl walked back into the room. Wait. Watch what ear girl said. Ear girl said, I don't know who you praying to, but an operating room just opened and I'm going to take your boy down in just a few minutes. That's not the best part of the story. The best part of the story was, Miss Cosby said, well, sit down. If you got 5 minutes, I'll tell you who my God is so you can get happy about him too. Oh, is there anybody in this church this afternoon who knows that God will put you in position where you can show your God off? You can talk about how wonderful he is. Talk about how amazing he is. Talk about how awesome he is. I need 10 people in here to exalt him among the heathen. I feel like lifting him up. Come on, Tonto, let's ride. I feel like hollering one good time and I'll be out of here. He says, I will be exalted among the heathen. But he also says, I'll be exalted in the earth. The connotation here, Rev. Stephan, is that he's not just going to be exalted among folk who don't know him. He's going to be exalted among folk who do know him. It literally connotes that everybody who's got a relationship with him, watch this, is going to have a reason to celebrate God in public. And I need some folk in here who refuse to be a part of the Secret Service saints to help me right through here. I need some people in here who refuse to be covert ops Christians to help me give God some glory on a Sunday afternoon, because he's going to be exalted among his people in this day. I saw it happen. One last story. I'm out of your way. I saw it happen right there in my boy's room. My boy was in almost a fetal position for about 8, 10, 12 days. Had such severe pain. Wouldn't open his eyes because the white light was bothering him. Pain all in his head. And he was just laying there, somewhere teetering between affliction and depression. Day after day. He didn't want to do much talking. If you know Matthew D, you know he's always the star of the show. He wants to make sure that you understand that he is in the room. This boy was laying in his bed, not wanting to talk, not wanting to do anything. Tubes coming all out of his body. He's laying there, and while he's laying there, everybody's looking at him, bemoaning his situation. Because this 12-year-old boy shouldn't have to deal with this kind of pain. And then Wednesday of last week, big brother, Wednesday of last week, we walk into the room. Matthew's up out the bed. And he's walking around, eyes open, talking to us. Although his voice is muted because his sickness has taken away the volume in his voice, he's talking to us. And we're having a good time in conversation. We go up to the kids' zone in the hospital. He gets some paint, and he becomes the next Picasso of the world. Brother man didn't have any artistic ability before we went in the hospital. He'd been painting stuff for the last 3 days. He gave me a picture of the Lion King setting, and I looked back at him and said, Hakuna Matata, my brother. Where my Lion King fans? It's a problem-free philosophy, Hakuna Matata. Means no worries. Means no worries. He painted this beautiful picture of the Lion King. He's painting all these paintings. It's a wonderful thing. And doctors are looking at him and say, hey, Matthew, how in the world are you feeling? He said, I'm feeling all right. And looking at him, and they're amazed at this boy who's now walking around. But for the last several days, he's just been laying there in the bed. I said, Matt, you got to give God praise. Because God knows how to do wonderful things suddenly. I said, he does wonderful things suddenly. Now that shouted me, but he didn't shout him. Matthew looked back at me. He said, that may be true, but some things God does eventually. I'm done. I'm heading to the table, but I need somebody in this church who understands that my praise is not predicated on when he does it. My praise is determined by who is the one who is doing it. And whether he does it suddenly or eventually, I'm going to praise him continually. And is there anybody in this building this afternoon who can help me close this message and begin to celebrate the God who still works miracles? I can't tell you when he's going to fix your situation. I can't tell you when he's going to work your circumstance out. But whether he does it suddenly or eventually, he's still worthy to be praised. So I need somebody on a Sunday afternoon to help me lift up Jesus. I need somebody to help me glorify God. And stretch out your arms, open up your mouth, and say, anyway, you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. Is there a witness in this church that God can do it however he chooses to do it? I don't know when he's going to work it out. I don't know how he's going to work it out. But since I know he's able to work it out, he may not come when I want him, but he'll always be right on time. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Somebody shout yeah! Shout yeah! 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 I don't know who I was sent to encourage this afternoon, but I need you to know that your God has capable hands. And his word to you and to me is, be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted. I will be exalted. I will show you my power. I will get the glory. There will be glory after this. There will be victory after this. Come on, is there anybody who believes it? God's gonna turn it around. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? He will bring you out.
Struggle and disappointment, that time that I felt so alone. Some of my friends, they let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me, around for me, around for me, around for me, it's turning around.
Just say it into the atmosphere.
Around for me. Around for me.
It's turning around.
Turning around for me.
Cause I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is
making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
No reason to doubt.
I know he's working it
out.
And it's turning around. This is the good news.
And it won't always be like this. He will perfect that concern.
And sooner or later, it'll turn in my favor.
Sooner or later, turn in my favor.
It's turning around. Concerning me, and sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Just
lift your hands to the atmosphere and claim your season of turnaround. Hallelujah. Now let's say this together. Come on.
Around for me.
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 It's turning around.
I can
feel it happening.
It's turning around, yeah.
There's
no
part of the man
for me
that he's alive.
Nor
the Son of Man.
Are You Prepared to Die? By Charles Haddon Spurgeon. How will you manage in the swelling of the Jordan River? Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. The land of Canaan may be used as a picture of two states or condition in the Christian's life. It was the land of rest to the children of Israel after an exhausting pilgrimage in the wilderness. Now it is written that we who have believed enter that rest. A true Christian possessed of strong faith will not have a wilderness state on earth. Rather, it will be a land flowing with milk and honey, because his faith will give him the things he hoped for and make certain of what he does not see. Many disciples live a life of depression, anguish, and discomfort, which would be completely changed if they had faith in God and lived a higher life of devotion and love. Canaan may be considered as a picture of that better state of Christianity which some enjoy. It is not altogether free from pain. The Canaanites still live in the land, and there still are wars and conflicts. But still, there is rest. And there is the spirit of service and the cultivation of the promised land. But Canaan, the promised land, is generally used as a picture of the rest which is waiting for the people of God beyond the skies. Heaven is frequently described as corresponding to the earthly inheritance of the Jews. It is our hope. It is the end of our pilgrimage. It contains our Jerusalem and the temple not built by human hands. When this is the view taken, then the Jordan River naturally equates to death. Its dark waters form a picture in our minds of the cold stream through which we must wade through in our dying hour. It is a beautiful emblem, and most likely we have all sung Dr. Watts' hymn with great feeling. There is a land of pure delight, where saints immortal reign. Infinite day eliminates the night, and pleasures banish pain. There everlasting spring abides, and never withering flowers. Death like a narrow sea divides this heavenly land from ours. Taking the swelling of the Jordan, meaning the Jordan at flood stage, to represent the precise time of our death, the question really is, what shall we do when it is our time to die? Or how will we manage in the swelling of the Jordan? We notice in the first place that this is a very practical question, a very practical question. How will you manage is the question. There are some subjects which are more or less matters of pure faith and personal feeling. And though all Christian doctrines bear more or less directly upon the Christian life, yet they are not commonly considered practical subjects. Our text, however, brings us face to face with a matter which is essentially a matter of doing and acting. It asks us, how will we conduct ourselves in the hour of our death? We sometimes hear the remark made by those who object to doctrinal preaching that we are too speculative and that we utter our own opinions which feed men's fancies but do not regulate life. Now we believe that every promise leads to a doctrine and every doctrine has its purpose and duty. But here today we have a subject that is clearly practical. I'm only afraid it will be a little too practical for some, and will only affect their emotions and feelings, and therefore they will fail to act on the truth and put it into practice and demonstrate its power in the last days of their lives. Christians may differ from others on some points, but I am sure that here we are united in belief. We must all die, and none of us should die unprepared. There is a difference of opinion as to what we ought to do at the beginning of our Christian life. I maintain that we ought to follow Christ and be baptized by being immersed in water, for it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Others oppose that as being unnecessary, unwise, or whatnot. We differ at the beginning of life, but we all agree in the end. We must all die, and we all want to die the death of the righteous. We notice in the second place that this question is undoubtedly a personal question. It is undoubtedly a personal question. How will you manage? It individualizes us and makes each one of us come face to face with a dying hour. Now, we all need this, and it will be good for each one of us to take a brief look into the grave. We are too apt to regard all men as mortal except ourselves. We are far too blind to our own weakness, and would do well to ask ourselves, each one of us, my soul, how will you manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will you fare when it is your time to die? The ancient warrior who wept because he realized that 100 years later, his immense army would be gone and not a man would remain to tell of their accomplishments. That warrior would have been wiser if he would have also wept for himself and left his bloody wars and lived as a man who must one day die and find after death a day of judgment. Each one of us must die. If I were addressing all the philosophers of the world, I would say, all your combined wisdom cannot lengthen the days of one of you even a single minute. You may calculate the distance of the stars and the weight of the planets, but you cannot tell me when one of you will die, nor how many minutes are left until the exit of each spirit from the world. Now I say to you that the wisest of you must die, and you do not know how soon that may be. It is also true with the mightiest and the richest of men. Samson was mastered by someone stronger than man, and the wealthiest of man cannot bribe death to stay away for a single hour. We all come into the world one by one, and will go out of it in the same way, all alone. Loved ones will come to the edge of the dark stream, but there they shake hands and say goodbye, and we go on alone. The prophet Elijah's companion and successor, Elisha, followed his master until the fiery chariot came to take his leader away. But when the messengers of God came, they left Elisha behind, who cried out in vain, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. In light of this, we had better be ready to answer the question as individuals, seeing that it is one which is asked only of individuals, and we will be unable to answer it or deal with the situation with the help of any earthly friend. I say to the young, to the old, to the rich, to the poor, to each one of you today, I ask you, as if you were alone before God, how will you manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will you fare when it is your time to die? As a third thought, we call attention to the fact that it is one of the most solemn questions. It is one of the most solemn questions. Death and life are stern and awful realities. To say that anything is a matter of life and death is to bring one of the most significant and solemn subjects to the forefront. Now, the question we are considering today is clearly a subject of life and death, and we must deal with it seriously because it involves the everlasting destiny of our souls. The question is of infinite importance to us all, but there are some whose situation is such that they need to give it their utmost attention and care. Let me call attention to one or two cases, for while I wish to stir up everyone, I am led to have special compassion on some, making a difference, so that I may save them like a burning stick that is snatched from the fire. I have been curious enough to think that I would like to ask the question of a Jew, of one who rejects Christ as the Messiah. How will you manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will you fare when it is your time to die. According to the law, and it is that law under which every Jew is born, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Now there never was, and never will be, any man or woman who did or could continue to do everything written in the book of the law. And consequently, every man and woman come under a curse. And it must be a dreadful thing for a person to think of dying under the curse of his own religious faith. And yet it is true for every Jew. Cursed by his own book of law, cursed forever. What comfort will that provide him when it is his turn to die? I have also thought that I would like to ask the atheist, the unbeliever, this question. How will you manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will you fare when it is your time to die? He tells me, perhaps, that he believes in annihilation, but he will need comfort when he is lying on that painful deathbed. Will he get it from the doctrine of annihilation, the dreary emptiness of total destruction, of ceasing to be? Is there anything to help a spirit when it lies there in the great need of consolation, tossing back and forth in pain and weakness? I do not think so. I would also like to put the question to a Roman Catholic. How will he manage? How will he manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will he fare when it is his turn to die? Some time ago, you will remember when a cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church died. Where did he go? I would not like to judge anybody's soul, but on the coffin of the cardinal, we find engraved a request that we should pray for his soul. Thus, there have been masses said for his soul's peacefulness. It is evident, therefore, that the cardinal's soul went somewhere where it needs to be prayed for, and that it is someplace where it is not at rest or at peace. Now, if this is the fate of a cardinal archbishop, there is no hope for an ordinary Roman Catholic professor. If a cardinal in the church dies and does not go to heaven as he has been hoping, not to eternal rest, but to a place where he needs our intercession and where he has no peace for his soul, then it must be a dreadful thing to die with such a religious belief as that. I would sooner have a pillow of thorns to rest my head on than to trust in the Catholic faith for my salvation. Oh, we want something better than this, a hope more rapturous, more divine, more full of immortality than the certainty of going to a place where there is no rest and where our souls need the prayers of sinful men on earth. Because these people refuse to listen to the truth, therefore there is nothing we can do for their souls. They must go their own way. And if they are found to be wrong on the day of judgment, we are so sorry that it has to be so. But our own business is certainly the first matter at hand. Therefore, forgetting them, let the question come to each one of us. How will we manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will we fare when it is our time to die? Remember, in the fourth place, that this question was part of a rebuke to the prophet Jeremiah. It was part of a rebuke to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah seems to have been somewhat afraid of the people with whom he lived. Evidently, they had frequently persecuted him, mocked him, laughed at him, and hated him. But God tells him to stand firm and not to worry about them, for he says, if you are afraid of them, how will you manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will you fare when it is your time to die? This ought to be a rebuke to every Christian who is subject to the fear of man. I do not believe that any preacher will be in the pulpit very long without having the temptation to be afraid of some man or woman. And if he does not stand very firmly on his integrity, he will find some of the best of his friends getting the upper hand with him. And this will never do with God's minister. He must deal out God's word impartially to rich or poor, to good or bad. And he must determine to have no master except his master who is in heaven. No bit or bridle for his mouth except that of prudence and discretion, which God himself shall put there. For if we are afraid of a man that shall die, and who can be crushed like a moth, how fearful shall we be when we have to talk with the grim king of terrors? If we are afraid of puny man, how shall we be able to stand before the dreadful ordeal of the day of judgment? Yet I know some Christians that are very much embarrassed by the world's opinion, by the opinion of their family circle, or of the opinion of their co-workers. Now, after all, what does it matter? He that is content to be damned in order to be fashionable will pay heavily for what he gets. Oh, to dare to be singular, if to be singular is to be right. But if you are afraid of man, what will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? The same rebuke might be applied to us when we get fretful over the little troubles of life. You have losses in business, exasperation in the family. You all have crosses to carry. But my text comes to you and says, if you cannot bear this, how will you manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will you fare when it is your time to die? If your religion is not equal to the ordinary emergencies of each day, then what will you do when you come to that extraordinary day, which will be to you the most important day of your life? Come, my friends, do not be overwhelmed with these things. Bear them cheerfully, since it is much harder work to do than any of you have met with in the battle of life. And the same reproof might come to us when we become irritable with our bodily pains. For there are some of us who, as soon as we get the slightest pain, become so fretful that our friends avoid us. We can scarcely have a little depression of spirit, but right away we are ready to give up everything for lost. And like Jonah, we say, it is better for me to die than to live. Now this should not be. We should be quiet and not be perturbed with these little streams. For if these sweep us away, what shall we do when the Jordan River is swollen to the brim and we have to pass through it? When one of the martyrs was condemned to be burned at the stake, his wife was also charged with heresy. She had determined to die with her husband, and she appeared, as far as most people could judge, to be very firm in her faith. But the jailer's wife, though she had no religion, took a merciful view of the case as far as she could do so, and she thought, I am afraid this woman will never stand the test. She will never burn with her husband. She has neither faith nor strength enough to endure the trial. And therefore one day she called the condemned woman out of her cell. She said to her, Young lady, run to the garden and get me the key that is lying there. The poor woman willingly ran to the garden. She picked up the key and it burned her fingers, for the jailer's wife had made it red hot. She came running back crying with pain. The jailer's wife said, I see, you wicked woman. If you cannot bear a little burn on your hand, how will you bear to have your whole body burned? And this, I am sorry to add, was the means of causing her to recant the faith which she professed, but which had never been in her heart. This true story applies in this way. If we cannot bear the little insignificant pains which come upon us in our ordinary circumstances, which are but, as it were, the burning of our hands, what shall we do when every pulse beats with pain, and every throb is an agony, and the whole body begins to crumble around the spirit? Come, let us strengthen our courage. We have to fight the giant yet. Let us not be afraid of these dwarfs. Let the ordinary trials of everyday life be laughed at. In the strength of divine grace, let us sing, Weak as I am, yet through your strength, I can perform all things. For if we cannot bear these, how will we manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will we fare when it is our time to die? This is what the text was primarily meant to teach us. We will now use it for a further purpose. Fifthly, the question may be asked as a matter of caution. As a matter of caution. In this assembly today, there are some of you who have no hope and no faith in Christ. Now I think if you will look within your lives, you will find that you are by no means completely at peace. The pleasures of this world are very sweet, but how soon they sicken the appetite. After a night of partying, there is often the morning of regret. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. It is almost a universal confession that the joys of earth promise more than they produce, and that in looking back on them, the wisest must confess with Solomon, meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now, if these things seem to be meaningless while we are in good physical health, how will they appear when you are sick? If they are meaningless while you can enjoy them, what will they appear to you when you must say goodbye to them? If it was meaningless to the rich man while he was dressed in the finest of clothes and lived luxuriously every day, what greater vanity it must have been when it was said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" How will you manage in the Jordan? How will you fare when it is your time to die? How will you manage when these earthly joys vanish and there will only be a depressing emptiness before you? Moreover, you already feel that your conscience is troubling you. You cannot live without God and be at peace unless you are one of those few people who are blind to his justice and have hardened your heart. You will not set aside an hour to quietly think about yourself and your future state. Rather, you simply go to your bed and fall asleep. You know that the only way some of you can keep any peace of mind at all is by going from one gala affair to another, and from one party to another, or else from business to business and from care to care. Your poor soul is like the infant which is to be thrown into the fiery arms of the false god Moloch. It screams, but you do not hear its cries, because you drown it with the noisy drums of this world's pleasures and cares. But still, you are not at rest. There is a worm in your fair fruit. There is filthy residue at the bottom of your sweetest cup, and you know it. Now, if even now you are not perfectly at peace, if in this land of peace where you have placed your trust you are getting tired of these things, then I ask you, how will you manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will you fare when it is your time to die? Moreover, you sometimes have, if I am not mistaken, very strange fears. I have known some of the most reckless sinners who have had fearful times, when nobody could cheer them up, when a certain fearful expectation of judgment has haunted them. The most superstitious people in the world are those who are the most godless. It is a strange thing that there is always that weak point about those who seem to be the most hardened. But you that are not yet hardened, you know that you dare not look forward to death with any pleasure. You cannot. To go to a gravesite is never a very joyful experience for you. If you were certain that there would be no more death, it would be the best news that you have ever heard. whereas to some of us, it would be the worst news that could ever come. Well, if the very thought of death is bitter, what will the reality be? And if to gaze at it from a distance is too hard a thing for your mind, what will it be like to know that the poison of death is flowing through your veins? What will you do? How will you manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will you fare when it is your time to die? Well, I will not describe what you will do. I have seen how others in your situation have acted. The man is awakened and sees the dreadful doom to which death is driving him, and he pulls back and shrinks back from the wrath to come and cries and shrieks and perhaps swears that he will not die, and yet he must die and be dragged down to that place where he must lift up his eyes and see nothing that can give him hope, nothing that can take away the sharpness of his anguish. Oh, may God use these words as a warning to many of you who are now listening to this sermon. Some of you men and women may be nearer to death than you realize. I want you to answer two questions. How will you manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will you fare when it is your time to die? But now, I intend to use the question as exciting meditation in the hearts of those who have given their lives to Christ and who consequently are prepared to die whenever the summons may come. Well, what will you do? How will we behave ourselves when we come to die? I sat down to try to think this matter over, but I cannot, in the short time allotted to me, even give you a brief view of the thoughts that passed through my mind. I began this way. I asked myself, how will I manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will I fare when it is my time to die? Well, as a believer in Christ, perhaps I may never come there at all, for there are some that will be alive at the coming of the Son of Man in the rapture, and these will never die. For so says the apostle, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. This thought we wish to keep ever before us. My real hope is in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would far rather see the Master return than to see the messenger of death. I regulate my life as one who is looking for and accelerating the coming of the Son of Man. I will not pay more attention to the servant than to the Lord of all. Come, Lord Jesus, yes, come quickly, is the prayer of our hearts continually. And as the bride of Christ, we ought to have our hearts filled with rapture at the thought of his return to claim us as his own. If he sends for us before that time, it is good, but it would be even better if we can see him return for us, bearing our salvation, a sweet truth, which we place first in our meditation. I may not die, but I must and shall be changed. Then I thought again, how will I manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will I fare in the hour of my death? I may go through it in the twinkling of an eye. Remember that good man who some time ago was getting ready to preach as usual, but the sermon was never delivered on earth? How quickly he was taken to his rest, and how happy it is just to close one's eyes on earth and open them in heaven. Such also was the death of one of God's aged servants, Mr. Aline, who had fought hard for the truth. He was suddenly taken ill and was advised to go to bed. No, he said, I will die in my chair. I am not afraid to die. He sat down and only had time to say, my life is hid with Christ in God. And he closed his eyes and fell asleep in Christ. When Ananias a martyr knelt to lay his white head on the chopping block. It was said to him as he closed his eyes to receive the stroke of death, "Shut your eyes a little, old man, and immediately you shall see the light of God." I envy such a calm departing. Sudden death, sudden glory. Taken away in Elijah's chariot of fire, with the horses driven at the rate of lightning, so that the spirit scarcely knows that it has left the clay, before it sees the brightness of the divine vision. Well, that may take away some of the apprehension of death, the thought that we may not be even a moment in the swelling of the Jordan. Then again I thought, if I must pass through the swelling of the Jordan, yet the real act of death takes no time at all. We hear of suffering on a dying bed. The suffering is all connected with life. It is not death. The actual thing called death, as far as we know it, is not painful. It is the life that is in us that makes us suffer. Death only gives a little pinprick, and it is all over. Moreover, if I pass through the swelling of the Jordan, I may do so without suffering any pain. A dying bed is sometimes very painful with certain diseases, and especially with strong men. It is often hard for the body and soul to separate from each other. But it has been my happy experience to see some deaths so pleasing that I could not help remarking that it was worth living only for the sake of dying, as some have died. We have seen death by tuberculosis, for instance. How very often it gently takes down the frame, how quietly the soul departs, and in old age and feebleness, how easy the spirit seems to get away from the cage that was broken, which only needed one blow, and the imprisoned bird flies straight away to its eternal resting place. Well, since I cannot tell in what physical state I may be in when I come to die, I just try to think again. How will I manage in the swelling of the Jordan? I hope I will do as others have done before me, who have built on the same rock and have the same promises to be their help. They cried, "Victory!" So shall I, and after that die quietly and in peace. If the same transporting scene may not be mine, I will at least lay my head upon my Savior's chest and breathe my life out gently there. You have a right, Christian, to expect that as other Christians have died, so shall you. How will you die? Why, you will die as your sainted mother did. You will die as your father did. How will I die? Why, as I meditated on this, I took down my little book of promises, for I thought, I shall certainly do as God says I shall. Well, how is that? He said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And again, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And again, he will swallow up death forever. And again, it says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord's God, your God, is with you. I will never fail you or forsake you. You know how many dying pillows God has made for his dear people in the hour of their departure. How will I manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will I fare at the time of my death? Why, I will be courageous and patient, if God shall keep his promise, as I know he will. Now let me speak to you all again. I mean to you that are in Christ. How will you manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will you fare at the hour of death? Why, you will do as a man does who has had a long day's walk and he can see his home. You will clap your hands. You will sit down upon a rock to rest with tears in your eyes and wipe the sweat from your face and say, "It is good. It is over. Oh, how happy it is to see my home and the place where my best friends and my family lives. I shall soon be at home forever with the Lord." How will you manage? Why, we will do as a soldier does when the battle is ended. He takes off his armor, stretches himself out on the ground to rest. The battle is all over. He forgets his wound and thinks of the glory of the victory and the rewards which follows. This is what we will do also. We will begin to forget the wounds and the uniforms splattered with blood, and we will think of the crown of glory that will never fade away. How will we manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will we fare at the hour of our death? We will do as men do when they leave for a foreign country. They look back upon those they leave behind and wave their hands as long as they can still see their loved ones. But they are soon gone. And we will bid goodbye to our loved ones. They shall have the tears, but we shall have the joy. For we go to the islands of the blessed ones, the land of eternity, the home of the sanctified, to live with God forever. Who will weep when he starts on such a voyage and launches out on such a blessed trip? What will we do when we come to the swelling of the Jordan? Why, I think, dear friends, we shall then begin to see through the veil and to enjoy the paradise of the blessed, which is ours forever. We will make that dying bed a throne. We will sit and reign there with Christ Jesus. We will think of that river Jordan as being one tributary of the river of life, which flows at the foot of the throne of the Most High. We will live in the land of promise on the edge of the Jordan, with our feet in the cold stream, singing of the better land. We will hear the songs of angels as celestial breezes bring them across the narrow stream. And sometimes we will have in our hearts some of the spices from the mountains of myrrh which Christ shall give us across the river. We are not looking forward to death with any fear, with any dread. When we get ready for bed tonight, we shall begin to take off our garments one by one. We will not shed a tear, nor will we when we come to die. Since Jesus is mine, I will not fear undressing, but gladly put off these garments of clay. To die in the Lord is a comfort and blessing, since Jesus to glory through death led the way. This is how we will do it in the swelling of the Jordan. We will take off our garments to put on celestial robes. Just as the bridegroom longs for the marriage day, and as the bride waits until she is joined to her husband in wedlock, even so our spirits wait for the Lord. As the exiled person pants to be delivered, and the galley slave to be separated from his oar, so we wait to be set free for glory and immortality. As the wife longs for her absent husband's return, as the child longs to reach his father's house and to see his father's face, so do we. I must finish, for time is gone. But I meant to have said a word or two of warning. I can only do so now briefly, abridging them and compressing the thoughts as tightly as I can. How will you manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will you fare in the time of death? May well be used as a warning. I think, dear friends, you ought to ask yourselves one question. Some of you never think of dying, and yet you should. You say you may live long, and you may not. If there were a great number of loaves of bread on this table, and you were to eat one loaf every day, if you were told that one of those loaves had poison in it, I think you would begin eating each one with great caution. And knowing that one of them would bring your death, you would take each up with silent dread. Now you only have so many days to live. And in one of those days, there is the poison of death. I do not know which one. It may be tomorrow. It may not be until many a day has gone by. But I think you ought to handle all your days with holy jealousy. Is this not a fair allegory? If it is, then let me ask you to think upon the question, how will you manage in the swelling of the Jordan? How will you fare at the hour of your death? You grant that you will die, and you may die soon. Is it not foolish to be living in this world without a thought of what you will do at the hour of your death? A man goes into an inn, and as soon as he sits down, he begins to order his wine, his dinner, and his sleeping accommodations. There is no delicacy which he forgets to order. There is no luxury which he denies himself. He stops at the inn for some time. In time, there comes the bill. And he says, "Oh, I never thought of that. I never thought of that." "Why," says the owner of the inn, "here is a man who is either a born fool or else a swindler. What? Never thought of the amount coming due? Never thought of settling your accounts?" And yet, this is how some of you live. You have this and that and the other thing in the world's inn, for this is nothing but an inn. And soon you have to go your own way. And yet you have never thought of the day when you must settle your accounts. You have either been a dishonest man or else you have been supremely foolish to be spending every day in this world's inn and yet to be ignoring the thought of that great day of accounting. But remember, though you may forget it, God does not. Every day is adding to the score. Photographed in heaven is every action that you perform. Your very thoughts are photographed upon the eternal mind. And in the day when the book shall be opened, it will not go well with you. Perhaps you will say, as one did in the book of Kings, "Well, I was busy here and there. I was looking after my family and my property. I was looking after politics. I was seeing after such and such an investment. And now my soul was gone." What will it profit you, though you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? It is not any of my business what happens to you, except this, that I desire to talk with you about your soul, that if you do perish, it will not be charged to my neglect. What would you say to that soldier who was told by his commanding officer to fight with the enemy on the field of battle, and the so-called soldier were to reply, "Oh, I don't know anything about battles or fighting. I never thought about the battlefield. I can do anything but fight." The general would be angry and amazed. He would want to know what the soldier lived for, if it were not to fight and defend his country in the hour of his country's need. What do we live for, if it is not to prepare for the life after death? We were sent into this world and told that we are to prepare to meet our God. But then, if we do everything else but this one thing, this will not be wise. And when the Lord of the whole earth shall come out of his place to judge the sons of men, bitterly shall we regret our foolishness. Be wise now. Remember this, and consider you are coming to the end of your life. What words shall I use to urge you to consider the subject and take my warning? Is heaven a place you would like to enter? Is hell a place you would like to avoid? Or will you make your bed in it forever? Are you in love with eternal misery that you insanely run after it? Oh, stop. Turn. Turn. Why will you die? I pray that you stop and consider. Consideration does no man harm. Second thoughts here are for the best. Think and think and think again. And oh, may God lead you through thinking to feel your danger. And may you then accept that gracious remedy which is in Christ Jesus. For whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever trusts in Christ is saved. Sin is forgiven, the soul accepted, the spirit is blessed the moment it trusts in the Savior. Before I close the subject, I must guide your thoughts to what is the true preparation for death. Three things present themselves to my mind as being our duty in connection with our dying hour. First, seek to be washed in the Red Sea of the dear Redeemer's blood. Come in contact with the death of Christ, and by faith in his death, then you will be prepared to meet your own. Without giving an opinion on the merit of that system of medicine which professes to cure diseases by producing an effect on our bodies that is like the original disease, or as they put it, inoculation, we recommend it in spiritual things. Come into union with Christ's death, and that will take away the evil and sting of your own. Be buried with Christ in baptism unto death, and have a part with him in the reality symbolized in that blessed ordinance. And you will not dread Jordan swellings, because the full tide of the Redeemer's blood has rolled over you, and you are washed and clean. If guilt is on your conscience, it will be as a millstone around your neck, and you will sink to endless woe. But if the love of Jesus is in your heart, it will keep your head from sinking and keep you safe, so that although your heart and flesh fail you, you will have God to be the strength of your heart and your portion forever. Secondly, learn from the Apostle Paul to die daily. Learn to die daily. Practice the duty of self-denial and the chastening of the flesh till it will become a habit with you. And when you have to lay down the flesh and part with everything, you will be only continuing the course of life you have pursued all alone.
Amen.
No wonder that dying should prove to be hard work if you are completely unused to it in thought and expectation. If death comes to me as a stranger, I may be startled. But if I have prepared myself to receive him, he may come and knock at my door, and I shall say to him, I am ready to go with you, for I have been expecting you all my life. How beautiful is this expression of the apostle. I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. He was waiting for death as for a friend, and when it came, I am sure he was very pleased to go. He tells us that he had a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Even so, may we learn to look at the time when we shall hear the summons, come up here, as a time to be longed for rather than dreaded. Learn to daily submit your will to God's will. Learn to endure hardness as a good soldier of the cross, so that when the last conflict comes, it may find you able, by the grace of God, to bear the brunt of the final contest with unflinching courage. And as the last preparation of the end of life, I advise a continual course of active service and obedience to the command of God. I have frequently thought that no happier place to die could be found than that of one's post of duty. If I were a soldier, I think I should like to die with victory shouting in my ear, or as Nelson died in the midst of his great success. Preparation for death does not mean going off alone to our bedrooms and retiring from the world, but rather it means active service, doing the duty of the day. The best preparation for sleep, the healthiest sedative, is hard work. And one of the best things to prepare us for sleeping in Jesus is to live in him an active life of going about doing good. The attitude in which I wish death to find me is waiting and watching. Waiting and watching at work, doing my allotted task, and multiplying my talent for the Master's glory. The lazy person may not anticipate rest, but workers will look forward to the hour when they will hear the words, "It is finished." Lastly, keep your eye on the reward. Keep your eye on the reward. Lay up your treasures in heaven, and thus you will be ready to cross the river and enter the loved land, where heart and treasure have gone before you to prepare the way. washed in the blood of Christ, accustomed to submit to whatever God wills, and to find our pleasure in doing His will on earth as we hope to do it in heaven, joined to a life of holy service, and I am then persuaded that we shall be prepared to say with Paul, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and with him, calmly and joyfully to anticipate the crown which does not fade away. May God bring you to this point, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
You've heard the words since you were in Sunday school. You have heard these professors remind you of them, both in words of warning as well as words of encouragement, and maybe even a few testimonies. A counselor, a friend, a minister of music, whatever capacity you'll serve in, on mission field or here at home, you'll use these two words. And they are, trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease, detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful. And you will be brought back over and over again to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know. You memorized them in vacation Bible school or when you were growing up at the knee of a godly mother and or father, and your lips will move as I quote them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways, trust. Trust. Now, we have a problem with this because of several things. First of all, we are too blame self-sufficient. We have learned how to get ourselves out of jams rather than acknowledging the jam has very well been either directed or permitted by our sovereign God to teach us. And by not trusting Him, we short-circuit the test and go our own way, getting ourselves out of our own mess. We're too self-sufficient. Another reason we fail this test is because we're too quick to call on others. We have a lot of very capable friends. As life unfolds and you leave this school and you're involved in your church, your work of ministry, your realm of responsibility, you'll meet other people. Many of them much smarter than you are. Most of them richer than you are. Better connected than you are. And some of them will become good friends. And they will become your crutch. They have connections. And when you're up against it, they'll get you through it. Another reason we don't trust is because we feel distant from the God of heaven. feel too guilty about that. So did Job, as godly as he was. And yet Job said, in the midst of all of the loss, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Though he take me off this earth, in the process, I leave trusting him. I will trust him. The fourth reason I would name is that we have cultivated the bad habit of worry. Many of you are much better at worrying than you are at trusting. If you were to put together a worry list, it would outrun your prayer list. And you're worried right now about something. Most likely, it's related to something about your schoolwork. Some course, some class, some test. Or maybe your finances. You don't have enough money. I'll give you a word of encouragement. You'll never have enough money. So you're worried now, you're getting good at it, so you can carry that with you when you graduate, because you won't have enough money then. So you're worried about that. And you do not trust God. See how practical it is? And if you think you're going to outgrow the problem, take it from this old guy today, you won't ever outgrow it. It's like lust. You never outgrow lust. You just learn to fake it. I remember attending a Navigator conference when Lawrence Sanney was president. We were at Glen Eyrie, and they had a returned missionary, I think 87, 88-year-old gentleman, who Lauren brought up to the platform, and he's a longtime navigator. And Lauren said, tell me, Dr. So-and-so, when did you conquer lust? The old man said, well, Lauren, hasn't happened yet. You'll never conquer worry. It's part of the flesh. You want to, but the only way you will get through it so that you will learn from the test is to trust. To put the worry on hold, to set it aside, deliberately shoving it away and saying, God, at this moment, I rest in you and you alone. If you're married, God, help my spouse and me to trust you. To lean on you, to wait on you, to listen to you, to endure the test with you. I put together a quick list of things that reveal how little we trust. When you choose to worry, you do not trust. When you try to fix what is impossible, you do not trust. When you hurry ahead and don't wait for the Lord to move and to change, you do not trust. When you lie awake twisting and turning at night, you do not trust. When you doubt biblical principles and promises that are right here in the book you love and study, you do not trust. When you turn to others first for help, you do not trust. When you listen to human counsel and give a higher priority to that than the principles you have just learned, you do not trust. When you manipulate and maneuver situations, you do not trust. When you step in and take charge without praying and being led by the Spirit of God, you do not trust. When you cling to others in order to feel secure and needed and loved, you do not trust. The list goes on and on. See how easy it is to live in the flesh, how easy it is to disobey. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wouldn't it be a great project over the Christmas season this year to think through ways that you can begin to trust God regardless? Hopefully it'll be a project that you and a good friend or you and your mate can enter together. What is it we do that keep us from trusting God? And how can we break that habit and watch God break through in ways that we would never have expected? Cynthia and I have a longtime friend who was raised with four brothers in Southwest Texas. They were raised on a very poor ranch. They eked out a living. One of the brothers wound up getting into Baylor, going on to UCLA Law School, and earning his degree in law, and has since become a very fine attorney in the Southern California area. We've been friends since the mid-1970s. One of his four brothers stayed at the ranch and developed it, cultivated it. The other brothers moved away, as did our friend. And the one who stayed, along with his wife, really turned the ranch into something much more successful. Grew crops that worked, got cattle, bred them, sold them, little by little, kind of got on their feet, and finally became pretty much financially stable. Then the fires of 2011 across Texas swept through their area, and they came to that ranch. By now they knew they would lose all the cattle. They simply opened the gate, and amazingly, those animals know where to go, usually know where to go to find shelter and safety. And they fled, hundreds of them. And they barely left, unable to get anything, much of anything in their pickup, and they drove away. Came back a number of days later when allowed to enter this territory, and everything was melted. Everything. Even the metal roof on the shed, on the barn, had melted down and sort of peeled its way over, and what it landed on, it kind of was that metal profile. As everything is lost, all possessions, all pictures, thankfully no lives. Strangely, the cattle got back and were clustered around in a herd around an enormous oak tree, and they were able to get them back. Of course, the fence had burned, so that has to be rebuilt. And they said to one another, "We realize at that moment our faith would either kick into action or we would move far away from the God we had loved and served." They chose the former. They determined they would rebuild. They're in the process right now. Living with a brother, putting house and home back together, having lost it all. The Lord taught me through my shameful response, He'll win this battle. Trust Him. Trust me. Trust God. Just to rest upon His promises. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Trust God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Trust God. The second message we heard today was by Dr. Charles Spurgeon. And I like Dr. Spurgeon because he breaks things down and explains things in a nice mode, I'm going to call it. He don't rush. he don't yell. I get excited and I'll start yelling. But he just kind of go on and let you get a chance to think about these things and to understand. Are we prepared to die? When I saw that, I asked myself that, are you really prepared to die? Hallelujah. And I say to myself, yes, I am. I'm prepared to leave here because of this. I made my calling and election sure with Almighty God. That was 1993. But every day since then, I continue to reach out to him. I continue to walk the best that I can according to his way. Obedience is my main key. It's the main thing for me. Yeah. Yeah, they say he was an English Particular Baptist preacher, so he didn't preach like the rest. But every day I try and work on preparing that if I leave today, where will I spend eternity? If I leave today, when I meet my Lord and Savior, what will he say to me? Glory. Because of this, I know he blesses me. I know he's worked miracles in my life. Common blessings, uncommon blessings, common miracles, uncommon miracles. Miracles that I don't get all the time. Blessings I don't get all the time. Because he blesses me daily when I wake up. When I realize I have a right mind. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. But when he do that, which he don't do every day. Sometimes he has never done that for me before. That's an uncommon blessing. And I know I get blessings and miracles, but it goes beyond that. It goes beyond stuff and things. It goes beyond prosperity. He's a way maker. If you need money, oh, he have a way of opening, all glory to his majesty. He have a way of opening a door that you didn't even know was there to bless you. But it goes beyond this. Because daily we must get it right with him. Daily we must take self-inventory to make sure we on that straight and narrow. Because wide is the road that leads to destruction and many there be. It's crowded over there. But narrow is the road that leads to him and few there be. It's not very many. And every now and then we'll pass one another. He may bless us to be right here with each other in fellowship. But you got to go your way and I got to go mine because you have your work to do and I have mine to do. Oh, sometime we'll be under the same building praising him. But we're going to depart from that building, from that worship service, from that praise service, from the fellowship. And I got to go home and you got to go home. You got to live your life daily and I got to live mine. But what kind of life are we living? Are we living a prepared life? Because he's coming back and he's looking for his church. Yeah, that church without spot or wrinkle. I promise you it's still in effect. Not a word that he said has gone away. I don't care how they bring it back and try to flip it around and flip it over and make it fit. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Hell enlarges itself daily. We see the wicked at work, but we must remain in him. Not just with him, but in him. Because, see, when we're in him, our life is hid in him. See, that old life, I was just living it, you know. But this life, I'm living it in him. It's a totally different life. I can be a part of the entire world. Oh, now I can go to a gospel concert. I can go shopping. These are things of the world. But I don't want to go to a concert that's not godly. God is not in it. I don't want to shop for things that he's not pleased and he will accept that I shop for those things. We must live a life daily that's pleasing and acceptable unto Almighty God. If you're not prepared, if you don't know that you're prepared, today is that day to talk to him about preparation. Many mornings you've heard me say this. We want to be ready when he comes. I don't want to just go and get my tailored wedding dress, have my shoes made, have my veil all done up, you know, made to match the dress or the gown. I don't want to go and, you know, get my hair just right, my jewelry dressed right. Everything is just right. They say something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. You know how they do. And when time to be there for the wedding, I miss it. I don't want to do that. I want to be ready when the bridegroom comes. All glory to his name. We heard about that, the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The 5 foolish didn't prepare. They had to go get oil for the lamp. And when they got back, the bridegroom had come and the door was shut. Huh? Hey, I don't want to be that person. I want to go in already ready. When he comes, I don't want to have to say, well, hold on, Lord, let me get my shoes. No, I already have them on. Well, wait, let me get my gown and look in the mirror and make sure it's fitting right. No. I did that a long time ago. I went to the tailor, to the seamstress, and made sure that the gown fit me. It won't fit anybody else the way it fit me. Yeah. If a person is much smaller than me, it'll be too big. If a person is bigger than me, it'll be too big. Because it's for me. I made sure. And that's what we're working on today. Making our calling and election sure with Almighty God. We don't know the day nor the hour. Some people catching COVID and they staying home for 5 days and they're all right. You know, they're getting over it. They feel like they're being healed. Some people catch it and die. And it's not always according to the illness you already have. So we know not a day nor the hour that we're going to leave here. We don't know the day or the hour when he's going to return, but we want to be ready when he comes. But Barbara, how do I get ready? I got to stay in touch with him. Any information I need, anything I need to go to him first. See, a lot of people, they run to the prophet is first. They don't go to God because they need something right now. No. You must learn to have the patience to go to him and wait on him. Nothing is going to happen that he already don't know about. And whatever happened, nothing can happen that he can't undo. It's only when we don't do what this preacher said, trust him. I done told you many mornings, listen, they told me I didn't get the job by the time I got home. They told me, yeah, come on back. Or they told me to report in the morning at 8:30, huh? They said no. He said yes before I left home. He was the one who told me to apply. I told you when I was in Alaska, I seen the ad in the paper, must have been 3 weeks, I know. I said, no, they're going to want somebody with a cooking degree. I love to cook. Been cooking for years. I don't know too many people eat my food and say, that nasty, I don't want no more of that. But when I saw that, I said, oh, no, they want somebody with a cooking degree. The job didn't go nowhere. Every time I checked the paper, that job was there. One day God spoke to call a number. Now, what was I going to do then? He done spoke. He showed it to me, but I wouldn't obey. He spoke. I picked that phone up. The lady didn't know me, as they say, from a can of paint. She said, where are you? Come on here. I've been waiting on you. You're messing me up. I need you to get on over here. How soon can you get here? When I tell you this woman was serious, because I didn't know what her prayer was. I didn't know that she prayed whoever called this number, that's who God sent it, and hired them. It was strange. It was weird. It was peculiar, but we are peculiar people. Went on over there. She took me on a quick tour and left. I didn't know she was leaving. She told me where to go make the application and all of that, go for the drug test and put in for the background check. I went to do those things. She said, when you get that done, come back. Well, when I got that done, and that was around 10 o'clock, I went on back over there. By the time I got there, it was around 10:15, 10:30-ish. And when I walked in there, the head lady was there, the director. I'll never forget her. I said, is Frieda here? She said, no, Frieda gone. I said, you know what? She said, she's not coming back. Are you Barbara? How? I said, yes. She said, well, she told me to give you these keys. She said, in the daycare need a morning snack and 12 o'clock lunch for the facility. I said, excuse me. She said, yeah, that's what Frieda told me to tell you. Well, I got on back there in that kitchen window, opening up stuff, fumbling with keys till I get the right key and put the daycare snacks on a tray and pushed it on over there to them. Well, when I come back, I'm looking around crazy because it's almost 12 o'clock. And the Lord just put in my spirit, put some hot dogs and coleslaw, ketchup, mustard, relish, and onions out there. Give them their favorite drink. It's some Jell-O already made in there. Cut that Jell-O and put it on out there. Well, I did all of that on a cart. And when I rolled it out to the dining room, the ladies came and started helping me to put what needs to go on the steam table, on the steam table, because I have steamed the hot dogs. So when they hit the steam table, they wouldn't be overcooked. They showed me how to turn everything on. A little bit before 12, it was ready to go. When we lean to our own understanding, when we mess up, when we trying to figure it out, that's when we mess up, because God has already worked it out. He haven't brought anything to your attention that he don't have control over. So while we're around here worrying about, Lord, how I'm going to pay my rent? God, how I'm going to do this? How I'm going to do that? Lord, I need it. While we're around here fooling with that, we need to get on in that book. We need to get in that book, Genesis to Revelation. We need to find the word of God for us. According to your situation, I promise you it's in that book. If you don't know where it's at, ask God to lead and guide you to where it's at in that book and hold on to it. And daily tell the Lord every morning, Father, help me to prepare all day and all night for your return. I don't know the day nor the hour when you're coming, but I want to be ready when you get here. Because we want to be prepared to die. Many people go out of here just like that. They're not prepared to die. Now, those are the people you'll see me crying over. I'll never see them again. They're not his. They're not going back. They don't have a chance to go back with him when he comes. They're dead. They gone. Their life spoke for them. Now, you'll see me do some great crying. But if I know where you're spending eternity, no need for me to cry. I'm going to see you again. I'm just saying later. Hey, after a while, yeah. Some of us, we're not going to see death. When he come, we'll still be here. Apostle Paul said he was going to show us a mystery. That we all would be changed in the twinkling of an eye, that let me know you're not going to be dead. Some of us. And then some of us will go on and take our rest at the appointed date that God has set for us to go rest. I believe that they told me the boy Hezekiah, that he knew that he was dying. He was finna get up out of here. He turned his face to the wall and he prayed God extended it 15 more years. We can do all of that. But we got to be in him, and he must be in us. See, we have a stamp on us, whether you know it or not. You don't see it, but God can see it. There's a stamp on us that we belong to him. And he knows the very intent of our hearts. We want to get it right with Almighty God today, every day, all day. As often as we remember to prepare, we want to start preparing. Yeah. Let me tell you this, and then we're going to go to one more song, and the studio will be open. I had two appointments with the oral surgeon. And I went and he said, swole, you know, you ain't going to do nothing with a swole, I don't go. Yesterday, I didn't want to go. That thing was all over me. I did not want to go. And I got up to walk through my bedroom to go to the shower. And I said, Lord, I don't feel like this today. I don't feel like going. Hold on. Let me go to one more song and get this door.
God's been good. Everybody say,
God's been good to me.
I want to tell you that
God's
been good. Everybody say, all of my life, come on, giant, say,
God's been good.
All of my life.
Radio, not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Oh, yeah, a lot going on. I forgot some things, but nonetheless, God is faithful. Listen, I was walking through the bedroom, going to go to the shower, and then get dressed to go. As I'm going in the bedroom, I said, Lord, I don't want to go. I said, Lord, I don't feel like going. When I said that, the Lord said, shoot, I'm going because I'm not going to allow you to get COVID. Honey, I came out that bedroom, and I don't know if I ate me a snack, drank some water, what I did. But I got on the couch and sat down. You hear me? He's got a purpose and a plan for our lives. And when we give him our all, give him everything we got, lean not to our own understanding and all our ways, acknowledge him. He going to direct our path. Be not wise in our own eyes. Just see him and depart from evil. Watch what he does. You'll feel it, but you're not sure about it. He'll come and make it sure for you. I am a living witness. I'm a living witness. Uh-huh. Yeah. But we want to prepare daily for his return. It's important. It's a very important thing. Because, see, people going to still be getting married. People going to still be having baby showers and babies and working. And it's going to be like business as usual. All of a sudden, he parted that sky. What will you do? How will we act? What's going to go on? See, I know it's him. I don't know if I do what Mercy Me talked about, but Mercy Me put something on my mind. Will I worship? Will I fall out? What will I do when I see him? Will I praise him? Will I run around? I don't think I have the strength to run around because I'm standing before all power. Hallelujah, Jesus. So look, let's go to this next one. And when we come back, the studio is open if there's anyone have something they would like to say today, please feel free to press that number one and come in.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall?
Hallelujah.
I can only imagine.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I can only imagine. But I know if his word said he's coming back. And if the word said what would take place, I know it's true. Yeah, I know it's true. And we want to prepare for his coming. It's a good thing to go to church. Please don't misunderstand, because I have one. I have a pastor, a bishop, all of that. But let me tell you something. They have to prepare for his return. I can't depend on them to prepare me for his return. God gave them the word. They bring the word to me. They bring instructions. Their job is done. Once they give me the instructions, they pray for me. If they see me in error and they call me, you know, to the error, and we sit down and we talk about it. That's their job. They're done. The instructions that God give them, they give to me. And if I don't follow the instructions of Almighty God, talking about the bishop, the pastor, I must follow the instructions he gave through them to me. And if I'm not following his instructions and think I'm going to stand before him and say, well, Lord, you know, Pastor Doles, what? I gave him the message to give. Did you get the message? Did you get the message? Yeah, Lord, I got the message. I heard it. Yeah. How many went to new members class? In new members class, did they explain to you? When you came to the altar, did they explain to you? One thing about that car, no, he's going to explain it to you at the altar. If y'all ready to go, go on home. But these souls done come to Christ, and I got to work with them right here on this altar. And if you close in your right mind and you say you got God, you'll come on down here and work with me with them on this altar. You praying while I'm giving more further instructions to them, because you just can't come to the altar, say I do, and walk away and leave it alone. You got a work to be done. You got duties to do, I'm going to call it. You got to pray. You got to study his word. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. You go to Bible study. It's a good thing, but at your house, you need to be talking to God about some things. Because, see, you won't always be able to get a hold of the pastor. But he done taught you, and then you went and reinforced it with the word of God, and God gave you more wisdom. Something happened. You don't have to call the pastor. I forgot to call mine when my daughter went home. I forgot to call him. He called me. He said, I heard today. And he didn't come with no pity party or none of that, because he know me. He said, I heard today what you need. I said, well, I need this and that. He said, if you tell anybody I did it, I denied. I said, ooh, the bishop ain't going to do it. He was just joking around, because he know me. You can do that. Look. When my parents died, I wasn't here. I'm all over the casket, and folks say I had did my mama so wrong. No. I was all over that casket because I didn't have God. I didn't know what to do with myself. I thought all I had was leaving when my dad was still living, plus two brothers. Huh? Family on both sides of the family. All I got gone, and these people still here? I didn't know any better. And I was just selfish to the core. Just selfish. But God saved me, sanctified me, filled me. When my daughter left here, I couldn't be selfish no longer. Oh, Lord, let her stay. I asked God to heal her body if it was his will. Well, no, God, let her stay, Lord. Lord, don't take her. What? I didn't know how much this girl was suffering and suffered for years. And I'm going to come out, stay here. Is she ready to go? What's wrong with you? Barbara, you going to be that selfish when I'm left? I'm left, Barbara. I'll never leave you. She's left. I'll never leave you. Not forsake you. I'll be with you to the end. But we got to get there. See, when all your hope and trust and everything is in Jesus, you already there. Oh, you're going to cry a little bit. You're going to miss them, all of that. And see, God fixed this thing. I don't even remember most days she gone. I don't even remember that. Until I see something funny sometime on Facebook, and I say, oh, let me send it, and then it'll come to me. She gone. And I just laugh at it and go on. Now, the daughter next to her, she calling me, trying to stay in touch with me, dialing. I don't know if they think I'm next or what they think. I don't need your company like that. I'm sorry. I love you. I thank God for you. If it's something I can do for you, which last weekend I did, whatever I can do. But I don't need you harassing me every day. I'm good over here. I have Almighty God who have all power. There's nothing he can't do. I'm telling you the truth. I am telling you and look here. All of that daughter-mama relationship, I don't really need it like that, baby. I mean, we laugh sometimes. We can go shopping sometimes. We can do some eat lunch together. You come over here and I bake your favorite peach cobbler and all of that. But every day, all day, I don't need you like that. No. I got much work to be done. Oh, my desk is full of stuff right now. I got plenty of work to get out. I got folks wanting me to come in. It's a COVID, a pandemic, a pestilence going on in the land. I won't be able to do it. I'll be like Israel. I will stay in the house with the blood on the doorpost. Yeah. Unless he says go. Now, if he says go, I don't care what side here. I got to get up out of here. I got to go. But he's speaking go, I'm not moving. And I'm going to get the work done I have to do in here. And it's spreading the good news of Jesus everywhere. People being blessed. Yeah, it's all right today, but we want to prepare for his return. He's coming back. He's coming back. Yeah, we laugh, we joke, and tease around, but this ain't the time, I promise you. It's time to get it right with God. Yeah, Lord, make your calling and election sure with him. Not with the church, not with the church people, not with the pastor, not with your family. Because they can't save you. They can't help you in the end. Get it right with God, and you'll be all right. Hallelujah. I see you, Sister Jerry. God bless you this morning.
Good morning, Sister Barbara. Good to hear you.
Yes, I can. We can hear you.
Okay. I didn't call you yesterday. I knew in my spirit you didn't go, but I said, you know, God, I need to just spend some time with you. So that's what I did. And I thank you for the message today, because sometimes we do call everybody but God when stuff starts tumbling down. Oh, let me call Sister Barbara. Let me call Sister Cohen. Let me call Sister X and Y and Z. But as I sit here in my own little room yesterday, God says, be not afraid, nor be tired. For I surely am with you. I felt so much better. People tried to harass me, calling and threatening, and I was like, oh, okay, have a great day. I just hung up. Because be not afraid. Man cannot do no more than what God allows. So am I ready for whatever? I got to get ready for what, if God allows it. I've got to accept it. Because the devil can't do nothing unless he go to God and say, I want to do this to Jerry. He said, okay, do everything but kill her. I turn you loose on her. Go. Do your best. She'll still run back to me. And that I can do. I can only imagine what my life would be if I stayed where I used to be. My. That's not what God has to plan and purpose for my life. So whatever the day holds, good, bad, or indifferent, I can't worry about bills because, as the man said, you'll never have enough finance. I can't worry about a storm that's coming when I have life and death in the power of my tongue. Speak to the mountain, and it shall have to go out to the sea. So all I call to say is good morning, Sister Barbara. Great message today, because I can just only imagine. Am I preparing daily for God? Or am I preparing when I don't feel good? Okay, God, I thank you coming today. No. No man know when the Father's coming. So I can just only imagine how my life would be if I just prepared daily.
Mm-hmm.
Just prepare daily. I'm better off anyway.
Amen.
Well, that's my message for today, Sister Barbara.
Now, well, Jerry, it's already all right in Jesus' name.
Yes, and it is, and I won't run, and I won't be afraid. Call me all you want to. I have two choices, either answer your call or don't answer it.
Okay.
That's the main reason I pay my phone bill.
So you can go on your phone, Jerry.
If I don't pay my bills, T-Mobile got the choice, but as long as I'm paying the bill, I think I choose whether I want to talk or not.
Well,
and then
they
got
right
this option, block caller. Block the caller. Block.
Yeah, but this is what we're going to do, Jerry. We're going to pray them spirits away, because that's what that is. And they come to
that's
intimidate you.
Spirit.
Yeah, they
mm-hmm.
come to intimidate you to see if they can scare you and what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk. Mm-hmm. We're
gonna
talk
I'm just going to turn it over to God.
Yeah,
I just turn that over to God. Everything I'm doing, from
okay.
the time I wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning until the time I go to bed at 7:15 at night, I turn this whole day. When I wake up, I say, God, this is your day. Whatever
okay.
comes, whatever may. Have your way, Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just move along.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning from Kevin how to act. He's always smiling. I say, Kevin, it's raining and cold outside. You just smiling. Everything okay?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then
God has it all in control. God has it all in control and no need to worry. But there is something you need to do. There is something you need to do. We'll talk about it after the show. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. Brother Louis, say, hey,
yes.
Sister Jerry.
Hey, Brother Louis. Hey, Sister Sherry. Oh, I'm not going to do roll call, but hello, Brother Frank, if you're out there, and Brother Anthony, and Sister Rita, and Sister Rose. Sion, and that's about, Dorothy Goodman with the Brother Flies.
Okay.
And that's about all I know. I mean, you know, I pay attention to roll call, but those people speak in my mind. Sion speak in my mind because I was calling her Eon, Beyond, everything but Sion, you know.
Yeah.
But I love the group. This is a wonderful group that I'm in. It's great therapy, too. So everybody have a great day. If I didn't call your name, you're not alone. I don't even know my children's name anymore. Okay? Have
All
a great
right.
day, everybody.
Okay. All right, Brother Anthony, I got you. And we're going to pray this morning for him. I have Captain Martin to pray for Deborah Cody and Brother Anthony this morning. I have those prayer requests. And I just want to ask the intercessors to touch and agree with me this morning. Wait a minute. Let me see what Sister Rita said over here. I know she sent me a GIF. Okay, good morning, Sister Rita. Good morning. Good morning. And she said, good morning, Sister Jerry. Have a blessed day to you and all my family. Jesus in the morning, family. Hallelujah. All right, Sister Rita, good morning. God bless you today. God bless you. And I know this. God have it all in control. If he tell us to do something, then we have to move on what he says. If he don't say do anything, then we don't have to do anything. That means he took care of it. But if he give us instructions to follow, we must follow his instructions because we're coming out victorious. We already have the victory. The victory already won. Yeah. But Lewis said, hey, Brother Anthony, please pray for all the truck drivers. What they going through, more Lewis? Yeah. And look, the lady told me, she said, oh, yeah, ain't no grocery in the grocery stores. Honey, them shelves and things about empty, and if they're not empty. And I told the Lord, thank you, because guess what? The enemy thought he was shutting one thing down for me. God had already opened another door. Before I found out that door was closed, God had already opened another door. Yeah, he's that kind of God if we're going to treat him right. If we're going to love him more than we love anything else. If we're going to obey him more than we obey anything else. The people on the job, oh, they'll obey the supervisor. Do not let that district manager say they're coming down through that. Oh, and if the owner comes, they flip that building upside down, cleaning it and everything in order. But you talk about Jesus and they ignore it. You're talking about him that have all power. They're like, oh, well, yeah, well, I know he was. I was over there with him last Sunday. We got to be with him every day. And it's all right. Look what I got already now. I have 7 boxes of Crayola crayons. I have 6 boxes of what they call them, playing cards. I got a couple of boxes of Uno cards coming. I have 2 coloring books. And I just got a few more things to get, and the box will be complete, and I can take it Sunday to the prison. Yeah. God is faithful, lady. Called me yesterday and told me, she'd say, oh, and God bless you, God, baby. God bless you, Laura. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And another lady called me yesterday, and what I don't have, she going to make the difference up. She said, don't spend the money on that. If you got the money to buy that, take that money and put it towards the fundraiser for next year, 2023. Because she out of town, but she say she want to come to that. Another one in Wichita, Kansas. She said, oh, I want to come to that. If COVID is gone, we praying that COVID be gone. I want to come and get that homemade soup and all kind of bread and desserts and drinks. And I want to take that tour of St. Augustine. I never been there. So I'm going to give you a donation, the second lady said, on Friday. I said, all right, I might sell a few things. I might start back selling brownies or whatever I can do to add to it. You know what I'm saying? So if God has already removed that pestilence out the land, we're going to go in and have a good time. Musicians, good gospel music, live singers. Yeah, yeah. They may come from all over. There's a group down there. And I can't remember the name of the Florida, Brother Lewis. Not Bradenton. It started with a B, I think. And it's close to Biloxi, not too far from Pensacola. And then we got Sister Anna Lee Foote. She down in that area in Pensacola. And see, she'll be able to come up, you know, if she can. And to those that are in Florida, some of them will be able to come up the same day and leave the same day. Those from other places, they won't be able to go back as quick unless they drive and, you know, and that's their choice. Yeah. And see, God will always give you something because I desire to stay busy. Yeah, they told me the idle mind is the devil's workshop. You sitting around with nothing to do to keep you busy. You thinking of troublesome stuff to get yourself in trouble. You sitting around worrying, and worrying is a sin. It's okay to be concerned, but don't you worry. Yeah, no need. There ain't no use to worry what tomorrow's going to bring. Why is that? It'll be all over in the morning. God going to fix it. You can go to bed with 33 cents in your pocket, wake up a millionaire. Y'all heard me? You can get ready to pay your rent for the month, and all of a sudden you own a house. Somebody gave you a house. He's that kind of God. The earth is his, the fullness thereof, the world is they that dwell therein. But he needs some obedient people. He needs some people that's not Blountstown, that's on the other side of Tallahassee. He don't need no people chasing after him for stuff and things. You need folk going to serve him because they love him. They're going to serve him because it's right to do right. They're going to serve him because they love his ways. They love his word. Yeah, and we already are right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I'm thankful unto him today. Listen, I'm going to this one this morning, request it. And Sister Rita, I know you're going to enjoy it. Good morning, Don. God bless you, baby.
Hello? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I want to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh yeah, I'm a music major.
With tears rolling down your face, with your heart feeling like it's gonna break, when your earth feels like it's about to shake, when you're taking all that you can take.
Anyway, in the middle,
oh yeah,
in the middle,
oh yeah,
in the middle. Good morning to you, Sugarfoot. Good morning to you, Mary Ann.
Good morning to you, Sister Samoa, Sister Melody Rose, Sister Angela, Sister Laura. God bless you, God, baby. Mr. Mason, Miss Deborah, Alexis, Sister Michelle, Sister Andrea Stenner, Sister Andrea in Philadelphia, Sister Keisha, Sister Rita, Sister Sion, Sister Diane, again, Sister Jared, Sister Angela Foote, Sister Annie Lee Foote. Good morning to you. Good morning to you, Sister Kim Hopps, Sister Michelle, Sister Patricia Fluker, Sister Lisa, Sister Yvonne, and our very own Apostle Claudia Boatwright this morning. Good morning to you, ladies. God bless you, sisters. Hallelujah. Speak your day going well today. Your day going well today. Hallelujah. God is already taken care of. Thank you, Jesus. Just trust it. Yeah, it's all right. Good morning to you, Pastor David Jackson. Good morning to you, Brother Cal. Good morning to you, Brother Justin Gilmore. Good morning to you, Brother Frank and Brother Marquez Griffin. Good morning to you, gentlemen. Good morning to you, brothers. God bless your day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God for you today, for the men as well, in Jesus' name. But Marquez hit me up early this morning to me, how you doing today? Because I had told him yesterday, I got to go to the oral surgeon. And he said, okay. Well, what's going on? I told him and then I told him when I found out I didn't have to go. He was like, oh, it's swollen. I said, yeah. And they're not going to do nothing in there when it's swollen because that's a serious operation. They got to put the IV, put you out, and I'll cut. I said, hey, no. And Sister Jim said, oh, please don't tell me about it. That's too much information. Well, God is faithful. When the time is right, I'm going over there and get it taken care of. And so I trust him today. And he's on my side in spite of me. Is there anyone else have something they would like to say? Questions about 2023 soup, bread, and drink and tour of St. Augustine? Or you may want to ask about the fundraiser? Because I got two. I got the Florida, the name. You know, that's a shame. I got too much going on. I'm going to calm down here. Indian River, Florida Indian River Fruit Groves. They partnered with me to do the fundraiser. You can buy a box of fruit for $20.
Joe Maidens.
I know he outside. Okay, Joe, hold on 1 second. I'm come open the garage. Bear with me here.
Wait. Hey, listen. What was in this ditch right there? Forest Park?
Yeah, Forest Park. And then you're going to come to Walnut Creek. And then you make that right on Black Hawk.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. So this was happening. Florida Indian River Groves partnered with me. And they have food boxes, gift boxes for $20. It's $20 for the box, and you pay $7.95 for shipping. The box won't arrive to you. They don't ship them out until the first part of March. So the first part of March, if you want fruit, you'll be getting your boxes. If you, my Facebook friends, or you're on Twitter with me, or you're on Instagram, Freedom Doors, Jesus in the Morning, Barbara Pittman, you can see it over there and put your order in. If you can't put an order in and you want to make a donation, you can cash at me at CASH, that's the big C, N-O-W, capital N-O-W, the big W is the N for O-W, 1727. That's cash now. 1727. Yeah. Did I say that? $20 plus $7.95 shipping. Yeah. So that's $27.95 for a gift box of food. And I had a lady that asked me about it because she wanted a box, but she said she couldn't afford it right now. But Sister Angela had already bought a box of food and told me to give it away. So I'm able to give that to her. And, you know, God, he'll just use whatever you got to bless the people. I've been working on T-shirts, and I want to put the name of the callers on the back of the T-shirt, the name of those that I see in the studio on the back of the T-shirt. So you can have your name added if you send it to me. And I've I'll be letting you know about that real soon. You send me your size and what color you want, and I'm going to have the name added on the back of the T-shirt. And we'll put Jesus in the Morning.
Joe Mason.
Joe, you going. Okay, Joe, I'm coming. Give me a few minutes, okay?
I just turned down Walnut Creek.
Okay, so when you turned down Walnut Creek, did you make a the first street you come to on the right to be
Black Hawk
Court?
Okay, yeah, right here.
Okay. That's the Lord holding it up so I can finish this. So look, just make a donation if you don't want the fruit and just be a blessing. This really, yeah, they says you got yours already, Brother Lewis, at Indian Grove River. This really nice fruit. Probably the best in Florida. Now, that's what they told me. It's the best fruit in Florida, Brother Lewis. They said it's really good fruit now. And no blemishes and none of that on it, no spots, no nothing. So I was like, hey, because I tried hell before, and I sent Sister Linda a box of that hell food, and she said, man, I don't like it. You know, we ate some of it. We found something in that we liked, but the whole box, it wasn't good. But Florida Indian River said the whole box you'll enjoy. Now, in the summer, I get peaches from the peach truck, and I let them set a day or so. And boy, the longer I let them set, the better they get. So it may be somewhat the same thing with Indian River. Yeah. Oh, but he said he had it many times. Okay, God bless you, Brother Lewis. Thank you. All right, so listen, I'm going to pray us out, and then I'm going to the last song of the morning, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for Sister Jerry willing to call in and say something for you. Father, we thank you for each and every one coming through the podcast, the archives. Move today for your people in a mighty way, oh God. We know you're able. We see what's going on in the land. But God, we know you're taking care of your people. Move for them today. Lord, move for them and show them that you're yet in control. Many of us know it. But Lord, do it anyway because we're asking in the name of Jesus. Bless our going out and our coming in. Father, meet the need in our lives today according to your riches and glory by your son, Christ Jesus. We come this morning bringing Brother Anthony, bringing Captain Martin, bringing Deborah and Cody, God. And Lord, you know the need. You know what they need. If it's healing, heal today. Lord, whatever it may be, if they need strength, oh God. And Lord, we ask that the son, that God, you would make his body like he never went through nothing. And that God, he can come off life support or whatever they have him on, oh God. Move by your spirit this day in our time, God. February 9th, 2022. In Jesus' name, we ask it, Father. Amen and hallelujah. Okay, I'm coming, Joe. We're going to the last song of the morning, and after the song, I won't be coming back. God bless you. God bless you.
I will be there for you.
I am.
I should get it down. I'm tired. I'm kidding. Oh.